Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. Well, you've read the headlines on biznews.com, watched the interviews on BizNews TV, and caught up on the latest in South African business operations through our BizNews briefing. So now let's talk about what the latest developments mean for your money. This is the Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. Today is Wednesday, the 19th of November, 2025. Glad to have you with me. So the biggest story of the day is a rather strange one, or unusual one at least. I was going through the information today on the Stock Exchange News Service ahead of putting together the highlights of the opening segment of our BizNews briefing. It's been quite a journey, this one. When you start a new product, and that is what we've done with the briefing from, well, a couple of years ago, we went on a particular journey and are now at the point where we are producing it, packaging it for ENCA, so for a very broad audience. I know that a lot of people have moved away and come to demand or on-demand viewing when they're looking at videos, but there's still a big audience, a big part of the business community and the investment community that want to consume their news through South Africa's biggest news channel. And so as a consequence, at 7:30 in the evening, we give them 13 minutes. And for the first 2 days this week, we gave them a deep dive into what we thought would be the stories that would be of interest to them. It isn't, judging on the feedback, and by that I mean we haven't really had much feedback from the community or from the audience, we've realized that it needed a slight adjustment. And you'll see tonight's show at 7:30. It's got quite a bit different in the structure to the one that we had before. I know I'm going into a little bit oversharing of details here, but you are part of the intimate community, and this is the inner circle, if you like. And so it's part of what happens here at BizNews. And going through the information on the Stock Exchange News Service today to pick the three big stories that I wanted to bring into the BizNews briefing tonight, I came across interim results. It's only half-year results from Southern Sun, and they didn't show a heck of a lot. The income up by 5% to 3.1 billion. But the starting point that in the detail that started to grab me was that in South Africa, that's up 8%. So 3 billion of the 3.1 billion is in South Africa. They're pretty weak in the Seychelles, where the Paradise Sun, their operation there, is going through a refurbishment, and then weak returns from the properties in Maputo and Tanzania. But so that's what depressed the overall number. But revenues at 8% for the 6 months, okay. It means that you're ahead, comfortably ahead of inflation, and things are looking okay there. What did strike me, and you might recall that in the podcast immediately after the MTBPS in Parliament, the mini-budget, I said I couldn't believe how busy the Western Cape is, and certainly Cape Town. I couldn't get a hotel. I could not get a hotel booking. Well, I could. I was prepared to pay 8,000 rand for a room, and that just wasn't on the cards for a South African anyway, who just needed to get into Cape Town to stay overnight and then go crack a dawn the next morning. So as it was, I was able to drive from Hermanus. Fortunately, I live close by. But at that kind of rate, it tells you something's happening. And the more I've been looking at this, and here in Hermanus itself, we don't get all of the tourists to go to Cape Town, but we do get some. And when you go along our famous cliff path, or you walk in the areas that the tourists like to be in, you hear foreign accents or accents not endemic to South Africa. So there are a lot of people coming from other parts of the world to our country. But where's the evidence? Where's the beef? Southern Sun's numbers show it, not in the numbers to end September, but they do have an update, a post-interim period update, and they talk about October. Well done to them, by the way, in bringing out the sharing the October figures with us, given that it's only the 19th of November. So it tells you a little bit about the tech that they have in place. And the group, which was a hotel group that focuses mainly on leisure, and a lot of that's tourists, tells us that their occupation rate, and this is the key thing in hotels, think about it, you build a building, you've got a whole lot of rooms, and the more you get those rooms occupied, because it's a fixed cost, the greater your revenues and the higher your profit margins. The October occupancy rate was 73.3%. Now, that might not mean anything to you if you're not in the hotel business. If you are, you say, wow. If you aren't, compare that with the first 6 months, was it 60.6%. So March to September, 60.6%. October suddenly jumps to 73.3%. But what's more impressive is that that 73.3 occupancy rate is the highest that Southern Sun has had since the FIFA World Cup in 2010. The consequence of that was that revenues are up for the month year on year by 18%. And the bit that I understand, given the rates that I was being offered, at including the Cape Sun, for that overnight stay, the EBITDA or the operating profit is up 27% year on year. It's gaan aan. Hier kom 'n ding. Something is happening in South Africa. And that is one part of the story that is ringing a big bell. Another part of the story is that Southern Sun tell us that they have signed a new 50-year lease for the Elangeni and the Marani hotels in Durban, in what was once the Golden Mile and, for some time now has been pretty down market and uninvestable, one would have thought. But they have signed that 50-year lease. They are also committing to put a 255 million rand refurbishment program into those two hotels in the next 3 years. The Itakwini municipalities come to the party and said, you can have them rent-free, those two properties, for the next 3 years because you're putting in 255 million. And the bet that Southern Sun is making is worth, outside of that 255 million, is another 510 million rand on that lease. So this is something that's telling you either the guys at Southern Sun have lost their marbles or they are seeing a picture that it's almost like South Africans are just so deeply embedded in bad news and we don't know when things are looking better. I found the response that I had to my report on the mini budget was very interesting. I had one guy getting hold of me and saying, I'm really worried about you because you suddenly letting these guys off the hook. No, that's not the case. I'm very much in the John Maynard Keynes group where if the facts change, then your mind has got to change. Your opinion of things has got to change. Your view on things has got to change. And the facts have changed in South Africa. Things are working in the right direction. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes in the lockup budget press conference where Enoch Godendwana, the finance minister, reflected a spirit of partnership by allowing the deputy finance minister, not his ANC guy, but the DA guy, Ashok Sarapen, to set the scene, to take the opening stand, if you like. Hey, man, something's going on here in this group of Government of National Unity, and you might not want to believe it, but Southern Sun's figures are showing me that there's a lot more to it than we might have anticipated. You'll be able to pick up later this evening the latest in the Magnus versus Pitt challenge. Remember, that's R1 million that one of our community members put up. R500,000 went to Magnus, R500,000 to Pitt. And in that interview, there is just so much gold, investing gold to grab and to look at. And I do suggest that you watch that It'll be on BizNews TV at around 8:30, or you can pick it up tomorrow morning. But or, of course, listen on the podcast, which will also be available later this evening. One of the things, though, that is going to make the Bitcoin group very happy is Piet Viljoen is a big fan. He says he's been buying Bitcoin in a private capacity for the last 9 years. Isn't that something? And the other thing that is adding to the essays getting better a story is that Magnus Haystack has been buying property now in the Western Cape for a while. He said he actually bought a property in Paarl last week. And he is now looking very seriously at deals to the north of the country because he says Joburg is just too cheap. Isn't that interesting? Interesting stuff. I'm going to be talking this afternoon to Peter Major on the mining story. If you recall, there is a the Mining Web Weekly podcast is on every Wednesday, and we will be exploring some interesting aspects. I want Pete's view on what's going on at Barrick. You've got an activist shareholder there that's making all kinds of rumbles and might be the reason why Mark Bristow made a early departure. We'll see if Pete's got anything more from his sources. And the other thing is that the EU has finally woken up to things like rare earths and other, hard-to-get minerals, which are controlled by China but are integral to the supply chain. And they've visited different parts of the world, including South Africa. In fact, South Africa was top of their list. So it wouldn't be fair to ask the guys at Steenkampskraal whether they've been hosting EU people, but there was a big announcement coming out of Brussels yesterday to say that the EU is looking to put together a strategic minerals fund, and we'll find out from Pete what that's all about. So lots to look forward to, and of course, please don't miss tonight's BizNews briefing. I think you'll find that it's a bit of an improvement on what we've had before. Before I go, one last story, and that comes from the United States, where Warren Buffett has invested $5 billion in Alphabet. You know, it's the second time it's happened to us now. You might recall, those who are long-time followers in our portfolio, we bought Apple shares at a time that they were around about $100, $120 a share, and Warren Buffett had never gone into that field before, and so help me, it was about 3 to 6 months later, he invested in Apple, and Apple's now by far the biggest stock held in the Berkshire portfolio. You might recall that we doubled up on Alphabet in the BizNews portfolios a few months ago. Well, Warren Buffett, all 95 years old of him, has finally decided that he's buying into Alphabet, and it's gone from zero to the 10th biggest stock in his portfolio. And I sat in those Berkshire Hathaway AGMs listening to Warren and Charlie enthusing about the Google business model and would anybody be able to replicate it or to challenge them. And I often wondered why they didn't buy the Google shares, or which is today through Alphabet, the holding company. And they've done it. Oh, well, Warren's done it, not Charlie. Of course, he's passed on. But at last, they've decided it's something like 8 or 9 years of very serious interrogation. That has to be something that tells you that, I don't know about the rest of the stocks in the portfolio, but at least now I'm feeling very comfortable about Alphabet. I'm going to leave it there for today. Please keep your eye on the Premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content. Thanks for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.